Welcome back to the Bitter Jurors podcast. We're a queer survivor superfan podcast. My name is Sam Stanish. I'll be here today talking about Survivor 45 episode 2. I almost said Survivor 42 episode 5. Not the case. But I'm sure that the I can't even remember who was the fifth boot of that season. But that I'm sure that episode was good also. Maybe Swati? Who knows? I am joined, as always, by my delightful and lovely co-host, Derek Reining.
Yes, we're here. Yep, could not tell you a fifth boot from probably any season if I really tried. So that's fine.
I feel like that was probably the Daniel Strunk boot, now that I'm running it through my head. Anyway, moving on. we are lovely and luckily and with love and light joined by a former co-host of mine, co-host of the, you know, in hibernation podcast Word on the Straits, as well as one of the fiercest drag performers of Pittsburgh, one of the nominees for best drag performer of Pittsburgh this current year. It's Jose Cuervo.
People are not stocks, you guys. It is so good to be here. I can't believe I'm back in the BJPOD. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for joining. We needed you. When I texted Joe asking if he wanted to be on, he like thought about it for a second, then he was like, well, I do have a lot to say, so.
Girl, I decided to watch the season and I do have opinions.
Good. I mean, we are you invoked Daniel Strunk. I believe Brandon is now only the second straight man to be voted out pre-merge of the entire new era.
Wow.
Yes.
Powerful stuff.
That is powerful. And the new era being season 41.
41 yes. On.
41 yes, on. Did. Drop the four. Drop the four.
Keep Wait, that's one. Not true. It's he's because JD was also voted out pre-merge, but
and Zach Wittenberger. Maybe but in the most since 42. I don't know.
He's the first one since Daniel Strunk, yes, which was in season 42.
Hannah is a feminist icon for quitting.
Yes.
I stan.
I don't know how or why, but she is.
I don't know the theory. I'm gonna have to read a lot of queer theory to justify why she's a feminist icon, but off the top of my head, the queer art of failure, she's failing up, she is showing us that quitting is winning, quitting is the new winning.
Every season of Survivor is a new wave of feminism. So we're in the 45th wave right now, and there's a lot of concepts that I haven't familiarized myself with yet, but I think the argument can be made.
It's gonna look strange to those who aren't ready for it, but it is the next wave, and you better cowabunga get on board.
She was time just to like, adjust.
I need nicotine, Jeff. I don't think you get it.
She wanted her own bed and some nicotine, and I get that.
That's feminism.
Yeah, the 45th wave is about elf bars.
It's about elf bars, nicely.
I'm unfamiliar with what that is.
Oh, it's like a... It's like
little vapes. You've seen
them. It's the most candy-like ones.
I didn't know the brand name. Yes, I do. I am familiar.
Mm-hmm. Eyes, lips, face.
Joe, you said you're watching the season this so far. Do you have any overall thoughts on the two episodes we've seen?
This is a season full of extroverts. Like, I need to see the chart breakdowns. I need to see the personality tests. Like, casting said, we're going to choose violence. In violence, I mean a ton of extroverted super fans, and it is like, whoa, like that translates.
I mean, Kendra, I feel like, is actively doing charts on the island.
A legend.
I was gonna say, I don't know if we'll get everyone's MBTI, but I think we'll know everyone's star signs by the end of the season.
100, which I love and appreciate. Libra Alliance, are they all Libras?
Well, it was like they're all born in September, two Virgos and a Libra.
Two Virgos and a Libra, right.
Yes. And then we've already name checked. I'm pretty sure she brought up Leos. I wonder if we're going to get the full, like, Beyonce style, like, every sign is going to get name checked during the season. I can only hope.
It's not that, but there were, like, several Token Chains references in this episode, so maybe we'll get every member of the cast of Token Chains referenced by the end of the season.
I did not clock. Wait, was that when Drew was like, you're my this to my this?
Yeah, Drew said that I want him to be the Steven, or the JT to my Steven, and then also they were talking about, they did said, I felt like there were, like, coach-y moments in this episode, like, Caleb telling Emily, like, they want to hear your stories, like, coaching her on how to connect with people was very Tyson and Coach in the Woods, and we also saw Sifu doing yoga, which is, like, Coach Chi kind of thing, or we saw Sifu probably doing Tai Chi, yeah, and Coach Chi was a thing, and then also Brando said to Bruce, I feel like you're my coach right now,
right,
so all sorts of things. I'm waiting for the Taj and Debbie BB moment, but
damn,
I'll be on the lookout.
I forgot the rigorous comparative analysis that BJ brings. Like, I'm not ready, y'all. I'm not ready.
I know. I was at a party last night, and someone was talking to me about Survivor, and they were like, yeah, but I feel like it's all, like, you, there's a lot of history, and you have to, like, know it to understand what's happening. And I was like, I really don't think it's that self-referential of a TV show. But then I watched this episode, and, like, there's several references to seasons that happened over 10 years ago.
It isn't.
No, yeah, I mean, it's like, it like enriches the text if you're familiar with who JT and Steven are, but it's also you can fill in the blanks. Like, JT probably a buff hunk, and Steven probably a little dweeb.
With brain.
And
it's because I was comparing it in my mind to Drag Race, where it's like, if you haven't seen every episode, you're only getting half the jokes. But like Survivor, you can follow along regardless. Even a returnee season, you like understand.
They fill in the gaps. Like, you're not lost ever.
Some great characters this season. Need more from Jay. Singer-songwriter, are you kidding me? On the island? Iconic.
Jay Maya, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I just... Mm-hmm. No, just Jeff called her Jay. What's her name?
I'm just saying, it took me a second. Her name on the show, like,
her title
is Jay Maya, which period. I believe is also her stage
artist name. Slay.
Yeah, it is funny just to call her Jay. Mm-hmm. In the same, like, it just is kind of jarring because it's almost like if you called someone named JT just Jay, it's like we're shortening the shorten.
Especially because in my mind, Jake is Jay, because I think of him as my mind as Jay Cocaine. But it's Jay Maya.
Is Jay Cocaine in the running for best drag artist of Pittsburgh as well?
That of course. My arch nemesis.
Jake. I love, oh my god, speaking of Keturah, like, calling someone your nemesis is like, oh boy, I'm just like that's instantly good. Obsessed with her.
Good, compelling, yes.
This was Token Chains coded too. She was like, who is this jackass?
And it's infinitely more funny because he has only been like kind of silly. And that makes him her nemesis.
No, Bruce is laying it on thick. That would be so annoying to live with. And Bruce seems lovely. And he does seem like a great dad. XYZ. I would be so perturbed. I'd be like, oh my god, these people are eating this shtick up. And it's not funny.
I know. Well, it's so funny because if Katura's confessional is like, I'm the only one who sees it. I'm the only one who's getting annoyed. But I felt like when they were like cutting to Brando, especially Brando had like the fakest smile on, and like they were just all talking about how they like know that Bruce is about to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. There were funny scenes. They did like a cartoonish like cut to Kendra, like almost like clapping for Bruce, which is really good. Yeah.
And then who's the Boston guy who's obsessed with him?
That's Jay Cocaine.
Oh my god. Yeah, he was like, I mean, you got charisma on 25. It's
I love that scene because it came right after it was like the other four people all talking about aligning, and then they're like, We're running this game, even though they're in the minority.
Brando is the best part of that tribe, next to Katara, Abby.
I'm like obsessed with him. I think he's great. I think he's in a good spot, and I really like him.
He'll go far.
Mm-hmm. And I love that he's in a duo with the lesbian. Like that, we love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a position we all want to be in.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
I had something else to say about the tribe.
Mr. Probst.
more Bello thoughts.
I had one, but I don't remember. Well, what did we think between the... It seems like...
Brando, I think Reba is stacked.
I also think Reba is stacked. Brando and Kelly are, like, going to decide which side has the power if they ever go to tribal. Joe, do you care which way it goes?
Yes. They should side with the girlies.
Yes, correct.
I don't care if JT Cocaine is good at sports. Bruce is annoying, low-key, and I want them to side with the astrology girlies and Katara, obviously.
Yes, the answer is clear. Like, if they go the other way, it's not going to be okay.
No shade to Bruce and Cocaine Jake, but I'm just like, okay, no.
Yeah, I would definitely prefer the girls, but it feels like Brando is in good with everybody. I feel like he just says all the right things to the people. Yeah. We see him talking to Kendra and Kelly, and he's like, I just would hate to see it be that like just a woman goes first or whatever. And then he's talking to Bruce and he's like, I need you, and I need you out here, like with everybody.
He's good at it though, and he's like very unassuming.
Yeah, and he's putting on the bando.
Yes, girl, the bando, Brando of it all. I was like, this is compelling TV. You better put on that crop top, tube top.
It's taken too long. It should not have taken 45 waves of feminism for this to happen.
No, we've definitely seen men do that.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. And guys, I know neither of you are Big Brother watchers, but this is a huge summer / early fall for twinks being put in drag.
Mm.
Wow.
The year of the twink.
The year of the twink. Oh my god, wait. Is there drag happening on Big Brother?
There was, like a month ago. The, like, internet's boyfriend of the season of Big Brother.
Got in drag.
Was dolled up.
Well, I hope they all get some fresh air soon, because filming Big Brother sounds disgusting.
They've been in there for 2 months and the jury just started.
It's like, do they have a cleaning crew come in there? Like, what is the air filtering like? Like,
they do not. And almost every season, like, there are ants everywhere by the end of the season because they do not clean.
And you know they just destroy those sets. Like, are they reusing those sets? Like,
it's the same house, yeah, every year.
But the house is on a soundstage. Whatever, we're talking about Survivor.
We're talking about Survivor.
We're talking about Survivor, actually.
Let's talk about Brandon, our tragic boot of the episode. Joe, what did you think of him in his stint?
Slay. I was like, yeah, this dude is anxious as fuck. And as someone who... is a fainter. Sometimes your girl faints. I was like, you know what? This was an exciting day on a boat. And sometimes your faculties leave you. And while it turned out to be representative of his performances and challenges overall, and he seemed to be pretty incompetent in that regard, he was a great social player. But
that was my thing. I feel like if both he and Sabaya had their votes, it's a lot more likely that he would have stayed. But I feel like with both of them not really mattering in the ultimate decision of this episode, it was a lot harder But at the same time, we're also told that Sean and Caleb asked Sabaya what she thought and who should be sent home. And then Brandon ultimately did go home. So I'm like, was that her call?
I don't know. I think this might have been one of the few tribals that actually swayed the decision. Or I don't know. I don't know. I feel like tribal resulted in the choice being Brandon and not Emily.
I feel like Brandon, and this is, I guess, not a knock against his game, but I feel like Brandon's final statement, which Jeff offered up for him and Emily, felt a little more like, it's okay if I leave, than Emily's did, you know?
Yeah, I feel like Brandon probably knew, and I feel like Emily did a lot of good social work over the, like, 2 days between tribals to make inroads, as she said.
She really did.
Yeah, and, like, because Brandon's whole thing, his only sell was that he was, like, good socially and, like, was strong with the group. But if Emily is saying that exact same thing and is proving it by giving the idol and also able to vote and proving that she's willing to, like, go with the team and she's, like, doing pretty good in challenges too, like, it's a hard sell for Brandon.
Yeah,
absolute.
It's tough. Yeah.
Well, just especially since this is kind of the first vote and they don't really have anything to go on until, like, after this, like, they're kind of the same player ultimately, since nobody's really betrayed anyone yet. And so Emily kind of slayed it. I don't know.
It's wild that she made it, but she did make it happen. Like, oh, wow. What? She's an amazing character. Like,
I wonder if this was intentional on her part, but she kind of is like, I'm going to become Caleb's, like, pet project for the game, you know? Like, I can fix her. Like, yes. She's like, I can take advantage of that. I can appear to be someone that Caleb can kind of babysit. I guess that's maybe a more compelling ally than Brandon, who is, like, competent socially, like we said, which I guess is more threatening. Like, if you know Emily is more grading, she's not going to betray you as easily.
It seemed like Sabaya and Brandon were close, and Caleb and Emily were close. And since Sabaya didn't have a vote, and Brandon didn't have a vote, like, Caleb and Emily can kind of do whatever they want, and Sean will vote with the group.
I love how much Sean cries. I love it. He's just like, we love you too, Hannah! We're voting you out! We love you, Hannah! But you are going home. I love it.
My favorite thing about Sean so far was, like, right before Tribal last week, he had a confessional where he was like, or maybe he was in dialogue, I don't know, but he was just like, ultimately, I'm good with whatever. We can decide to do either one. It's up to you. Like, I don't know. He was just very willing. He didn't say anything, and but, like, spoke for, like, an extended period of time, kind of like I am right now.
I love that. I love that.
Sean's a babbler.
Vomit.
And I love that. I'm excited. Do we think Lulu is just gonna keep on being the Lululemons Sean dubbed
it? I don't. I feel like, especially now that it'll be down to just these four. I feel like they could win a challenge, maybe one pre-merge, maybe two.
I feel like we're in for they themselves invoked the Brains Tribe this episode, right? I feel like someone brought up Kageyan. But, like, they managed to win one pre-merge challenge, right? They got to go one round.
Yeah, because Bryce was voted out.
Yes.
But they lost the other three pre-swap.
Right. Would you rather see Reba or who's Belo go to tribal?
I think that I would rather see Reba go, because I like everybody on the Belo tribe and I want them to make it to jury.
Agreed.
Go off.
But I also, like, know more and care more about the Belo dynamics.
Yeah.
Reba, it's like, I feel like we saw the same scene both episodes with Reba, where it was just kind of like,
look at my toes.
Yeah, like, which was hilarious.
That was great.
Strange.
She seems cool.
I feel like I'm more fascinated by what's going on the Belo tribe and want to see them vote.
Yeah.
So, like, for an individual episode thing, I would like to see them go to tribal, but on the grander scheme, I care less about the Reba tribe right at this exact second, and I wouldn't mind seeing one of them go over one of my beloved blues.
Beloved right. Bello Blues.
Yes.
I got the Bello Blues.
Mm. But yeah, Joe, you mentioned Reba Stacked. We were talking about them a little bit. We saw like a quartet form on this tribe. They seem good, I guess. We'll see.
Drew, just, I'm sure he's a great kid. I don't know about Drew, you guys. I don't know about Drew. Rubbed me the wrong way. I don't vibe with Ivy League types. When he was like, this is a networking opportunity, I was like, ugh. And he was like, that might be the Ivy Leaguer in me. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, the Ivy Leaguer's popping out, girl.
Like, maybe it's just because we're... Okay. Maybe it's because we're like art students that it's like that's a little like it rubs us the wrong way.
It rubs
like,
me.
Can't relate to that in any way. I think he seems like a nice guy, but I think we all know how I feel about going to the analogy well a little too often. I feel like we hit that here. Ooh. With what was the reference he was making here?
Napoleon.
Yes, it was something like that.
Yeah, I was like, girl, you couldn't dominate a breakfast nook, okay?
He wants to on the beach. I support him. Like you're saying, he seems nice. I feel like he's working with people who I like more than him, but he's not so bad, but at the same time, I'm like, please don't win.
He's doing great. Like, he's playing well. He got the advantage. He's doing his thing. He's making good alliances and he has whatever. But I'm just like, come on, dude. Like, lighten up. He's so ambitious. It's giving Macbeth.
And no one wants to see Macbeth win. I think that's the. We want Lady Macbeth to win.
We want Lady Macbeth to win.
And whatever that may be.
Well, in the analogy, it sounds like that's either Julie or Dee.
Mm.
Emily.
But also, but isn't Drew like prime candidate for the showmance we were told might be happening this season? Ooh. And I feel like it's Drew or Austin and someone else.
It's Drew and Austin.
And I feel like Jay Maya is the most likely of the people we've seen them interact with.
A throuple. It's on the way. It's happening.
That would be groundbreaking.
That would be. That's exactly what Survivor needs. It's a messy polycule alliance.
Riverdale did it first, right? Didn't they have a polycule?
That is how the show ended, yes.
What? Riverdale's over? Oh my god.
No. You're like just recently.
Girl, I've seen like one episode of Riverdale and Archie was getting arrested for murder and I was like okay.
What a weird moment in pop culture. But this was a really fun episode. I think the 90 minutes are working.
Agreed, because even though there was an extended idol hunt and an island visit, there was still so many other things going on in the episode that it wasn't so bad to see those things.
Yeah.
It's I love exciting. An idol hunt.
You too.
Love it.
For what?
To what end?
I like Sabaya and Emily. I like Sabaya being like, hey, just wanted to let you know we're going to look together. And Emily being like, you're babysitting me.
That was iconic. That was iconic. Emily being like, okay, so like, you know, I have to interpret this as like, you just don't want me to find the idol by myself. It's like, say, you know, at some point, her strategy of saying more is working. And that's iconic.
The Emily Sabaya relationship was my favorite of the episode. I like it to start with how they start in the first scene where they're like not yelling at each other, but they're having one of the most tense conversations ever aired on Survivor, where Sabaya literally says to Emily, you are adamant about being a person who is not liked. And then I can't help how I feel, just like you can't help how you say things.
Literally iconic. And she's not wrong.
But then to go to the end of the episode where Emily's like, I want to work with you guys. Here's my shot in the dark. They really, they changed over the course of a couple episodes or a couple days.
I could not believe Emily said the words, people are not stocks. People have emotions. I was like, this is To me, this is the most compelling television. Emily is such a good character. It's like learning that people cannot be manipulated like numbers and graphs on live television and then doing it. Iconic. Powerful.
The producer being like, would you ever say that people are not like stocks? And Emily's like, I would say that people are not.
I would say that. Would you like me to say that?
Is she a stockbroker? Like, where did
yes, that
she's,
come?
She's a financial analyst. Have you not looked at her Instagram?
No.
What about the bumper that shows up every time she does a confessional?
Oh, I thought she was a full-time like diva. You know,
a full-time diva.
Like that's her occupation is
Mariah girl. Carey impersonator. She is so amazing to me.
Emily Flippin.
The this memes. Is her Instagram.
Wow.
Every single photo is uploaded with the impact font saying financial analyst Emily Flippin over it.
I don't really love that.
So
I don't really know point of that. Why, but I like it.
She's like getting me to love financial analysts, which is like something I never thought I would.
Is that like post-Iran? Like what's she doing there? Post-irony?
This is 45th wave feminism. Don't question
yeah.
The 45th don't, wave of irony.
Derek, don't tell me you're not familiar with post-irony, okay?
I'm very familiar. I'm just trying to parse where she's at on,
right,
the,
okay.
on the spectrum. I didn't even know.
We post irony all the time. talking about the Lulu tribe and social media, I did send this already to both of you this week, but I feel like Sabaya's retweets have been my favorite part of the season so far.
Iconic.
And just wanted to read one of her retweets aloud on the pod for everyone.
A dramatic reading.
Sabaya Broderick alien emoji reposted J Vibes freezing face. Verified at Daystack. Yes, I let my femme strap me.
Period.
Fem-
the thing
go
is,
up. Go up. I think it's so funny to. It's so funny to retweet that like while you're on TV. Like I don't know. It's just I feel like I can't think of a single thing that's ever been similar to seeing that retweet.
It's girls gotta retweet. Like
she
what?
Felt.
Just 'cause she's on Survivor, she's got to filter herself for these masses. They're gonna say what they're gonna say.
So true.
It was at the top of her heart, and she had to let. I don't judge her. I celebrate.
Right. She was like, "That's true."
I retweet.
Let me retweet this. Repost it.
Like and repost.
Yes. I.
I love
I know it.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just like you said, Sam, it's like weird that this was not weird, but it's like funny that she retweeted it during like the air. This is usually something we see like looking back, like year, like in 2021, she tweeted like, I let my femme strap me. Like,
this is powerful. Like Thursday, the day after an episode of Survivor. It's so funny.
Iconic. I mean, this talk about being real. Okay. Time to be real. Sabaya never not real.
She I love the call.
The end of this episode where she's like, wait, it seems like I'm running things. And I kind of like that. I didn't realize I was running things, but I do like that that is what's happening. It's like, yeah, girl, you've obviously been on the top of this heap.
Yes, we also, she's running things even though she doesn't have her vote because she hasn't been able to melt her candle yet.
Iconic.
Very
what do we think?
Very October.
Yeah. Oh, it is
melting candles.
I love that each tribe has their own little scavenger hunt that they have to complete for their different idol. It's not the same.
Yeah, hers was like easier to find it, but then harder to release it.
And the releasing scene was great. I was like, how are they going to get up this dumb tree, girl? And then it's like, oh, cut this vine. It's giving video game. You know what I mean?
Very large.
Yes, it was. I felt like I was watching like a Harry Potter computer game when they like cut the vine and it like unwrapped and like
right.
fell. I was like, they just flipendoed that.
And then it's like, do-do-do-do-do. Like, you got the item to advance further. It's like, yeah, this is iconic.
And then they do not have fire, even though we saw Brandon try to use water droplets on his glasses to magnify the sunlight to start one.
I really thought that was going to work.
It has in the past, but it didn't this time.
Oof.
Yeah, what do you think the candle smells like?
Such good question.
Coconut.
Coconut.
Wax.
And wax. I see that. Do you think it has one of the flicker wicks, the little wooden flicker wicks?
Absolutely. It's clean burning, paraffin free.
I just need Sabayata to remember that the first time you light it, you have to let it melt all the way out to the side so that you get an even melt the rest of its time.
Exactly.
You're so right for that.
Thank you. I'm not a big candle melter, but I learned that from TikTok.
Oh god.
Then it must be true.
Yes, it's probably wrong.
Okay, why do I feel like every time I open TikTok, it's like if I'm not making soap, I'm failing at life. Like I hate TikTok, or
cutting it in like in front of that they all the pieces fall.
It's like, stop convincing me that I'm unproductive. It's like, why are you making so much soap? Oh my god. People don't even bathe this much.
Yeah, wait, what? So that's a thing on TikTok, is people making soap?
Oh
yeah.
My god.
And like cutting it and then packaging it in plastic.
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea.
It's their Etsy shop, you know?
Grow up.
But why does everyone have a soap Etsy shop? Like, so many people have one. And I'm like, don't even get me started on slime. It's like, that should be illegal.
Slime? Like, is it just for, like, stemming slime or for another purpose?
I haven't really seen that recently, but I believe you. I feel like those aesthetic videos or, like, those, like, texture videos are not for me. The goops. I like other
stuff. They shouldn't be for anyone. What happens to all that shit?
That's like, true.
Why are you just putting plastic in goop? It's like, this is a disaster.
This is a crisis.
This is a crisis. I'm on my way.
Yeah, I never thought about the cleanup. Yeah, I agree, Sam. Doesn't really do much for me. I'm sure it's for other people. Kind of like Drew, you know? For me, but I understand the appeal for others.
But ultimately inoffensive, except for the disaster.
Except for the disaster.
Yeah, thinking about the future repercussions of that.
Wait, I also love when Sabaya was like, girl, this is not a coconut tree. I was like, yeah, when are they going to figure this out? That's a full palm frond in a tree that does not grow those.
And I would never have known. I mean, maybe I would if I were out there and like had the different trees to compare, but that was mind-blowing to me that they figured that out.
Yeah.
That seems I was just like, girl, that's not a palm tree. Like,
Yeah, you need to be like, I feel like, Joe, you would kind of occupy an Emily space where it's like everyone else is agreeing that the pyramids are like batteries. And you'd be like, no, actually, they're not.
Like, those were tombs, actually. Yeah. Those were tombs constructed over millennia for the pharaohs. So.
And I think you would bring it in a way that maybe is less grating. Hopefully.
It's like, crack a book, Mary. Crack a hieroglyphic book, okay?
Unravel your papyrus.
Right. Maybe catch a scroll once in a while.
You'll realize they're not batteries, which I know that was last episode, but I just like, mean it's more like a battery than it is?
No,
literally.
What does
that mean?
Girl, I'm like, actually, and literally, wait, now that you say that, I remember being like, actually, those were tombs of the pharaohs constructed over the course of centuries. Stupid. Girl, I love my Egyptology.
What do you think we'll get next week about being silly? Like, last week it was the pharaoh tomb thing. This week it was the toe.
The toe, yeah.
What are we going to learn next week?
He's going to be a fucked up little freak next week.
Togate was silly. Bando was iconic.
True.
That was my silly highlight.
I feel like it's going to turn out, let's see, who's going to be the next weirdo?
I need a song.
Well, I feel like Kendra has a huge potential to be a fucked up little freak.
Yeah.
And I you know, I'm excited to see where that takes us.
I love...
We saw her have her pussy annihilated this week.
Oh my god.
Oh, that was so hard to watch.
That we could see repercussions from that next week.
Yeah. I think I tweeted, I texted just Kendra's coochie, like sad face.
That did you see so that she was watch. She said the same thing? She was like, yeah, she hashtag Kendra's coochie.
Oh wow, hashtag I didn't Kendra's even realize. Pooch.
No, that's so important. That's so important to raise awareness. I love in the first episode, she was like, I'm from Salem, Mass. If you're picking up on a witchy vibe, I was like, you're my favorite.
Guys, breaking news. Jake O'Kane has been watching season 3, episode 1 of Drag Race while we've been on the podcast. And he just tweeted, favorites following the first elimination. Manila, Shangela, Raja, Mimi.
Iconic.
Mimi, I was first in the voting. I'm first.
Oh, wow. I cannot believe
that's kind of Katura's vibe. I feel like it's Bruce versus everyone is going to be coming up next episode.
Ooh, I would love that. Maybe Katura will give us a silly moment.
He'll never be glamour.
Katura is genuinely everything I expected to get from Emily, but she's delivering it. Emily, and look, I know she's on her growth arc and she's still being shady a little bit, but my huge excitement for the character of Emily Flippin on Survivor 45 has been tempered quite a bit by episode 2. It's not as interesting to me that she's like another growth arc. If she's like this like person who's completely changed by the experience of Survivor, it's so fun to watch someone be just like mean and like rude like for 12 episodes.
I don't think she's gonna be able to stop though. I think Yeah.
On my rewatch, I realized she still had like a little bit like that. In the post challenge where she was like, "Oh, it must be so hard to be in the Power Alliance, making big decisions." Feel so bad for them, but it's just nothing compared to how it was in episode 1.
I still don't even. But she herself was like, "Attitude is my biggest problem in this situation, and this is literally who I am, and it." Change doesn't happen so fast overnight, so I think she will have a harder time. And then, girl, put her in a position where she makes the merge. Oh my god, girl, I will need to see that. I need to see that.
I know. I need to see her and Katura talk about Bruce. I mean, we already know Emily doesn't like Bruce, so there could be a link up right there.
Girls, it's not to like the
she's
end.
Bad at strategy, like she. Is right about what she's saying. She just should not be saying anything.
Agreed.
The way she's saying it and the strategy out loud.
And to their faces.
Yeah. It's like, girl, but it's so fun.
I mean, I did love that part where she was like, it was like right after she had that heart-to-heart with Caleb and like the 10-minute long scene of like, people are people, not stocks. And then the very next scene was like, the idol hunt, and she was like, you are all trying to isolate me and make me feel horrible, which was funny. I was like, so you didn't learn a lesson. Great.
No, but she was right to say that. I think that's a part where like that kind of strategy worked out in her favor a little bit. I don't know. Because for that's sure. Why it's such an extreme strategy though. You have to go all the way with it to then circle back to here's my shot in the dark, trust me. Because I have nothing else, but also, you know, I'm an open book. I'm like, that's crazy. Like, have we ever seen someone do that? Like,
I don't know.
I just liked the idea of using the shot in the dark as a collateral.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure. It's the most interesting thing someone's done with a shot in the dark.
Oh, say that. I'm going to play it the first episode.
Guys, what if we all play our shot in the dark?
Another Emily Flippin shady / diva moment of this episode was when she was like, and I think you know I bring a little more vitality to the tribe than I couldn't believe it.
Was that a read?
Absolutely.
Girl, it's a preschool read. It's like Brandon is bad at challenges.
I love that she called it vitality too, like a video, the video game of it all, like a stat he has. He's lower on vitality.
My Dex HP is higher than him.
My Dex modifier is actually a lot higher than Brandon, so I think that's an asset.
That would work on Jake Cocaine, I think.
The girl, is he a DM?
He said 25 charisma.
He owns nerdiness as a piece of him.
Okay, that's brave and fair. I recently described the relationship with my therapist as I'm the DM, and my therapist is a player in the Dungeons & Dragons campaign of my life.
Was that a healthy way to think about
it? Was therapist? A joke, Derek.
That's interesting. I figured it would be the other way around. Yeah. Sort of like setting up challenges for you and, you know.
No. I'm the one setting the traps here.
Oh my God. You're the jigsaw in the relationship.
Don't get me started. I fucking hate Saw.
Oh, no.
This is not the podcast to say that on, Joe.
I'm sorry. I said it the other day and I was just like, I said it with such clarity. My friend was like, wow, Joe hates Saw. I'm just like, okay, you want me to perform brain surgery with a rusty fucking circle saw? Otherwise my friend dies? Well, guess what's going to happen? Everyone's going to die, Jigsaw. This is very uncreative.
I'm glad you used that word. I feel like Saw is about performance, you know, performing society, you know, like societal expectations of you, you know?
I guess, but it's like, I'm not a surgeon in the first place, girl. Like, how did you think this was going to go? It's like, stop inventing these little games, just kill us. Anyway,
that's how your therapist
we're talking about Survivor. We're talking about Survivor.
I did, well, this is completely off the topic of Saw, but I did want to just bring up Keturah again about a confession about Bruce she had, where she was talking about how he always like talks about how famous he became after one episode of the show and how he keeps name dropping people, and they show him talking about Kane, which is like such a random pull of a contestant from the previous season. Joe, do you remember Kane? Do you know who that is?
I did not watch last season.
Oh, you should. It's very good. But
wait, because I remember Bruce
with Carolyn.
Jam Jam?
Oh, Jam Jam, Carolyn. I was in and out. I was in and out. Sure. I love Carolyn.
Well, you know, Kane, it just feels like he must have said Jam Jam at some point. It's just so funny for him to be saying the one clip they chose is Kane.
Yeah, it's like he surely is like you said, like, oh yeah, I talked with Jam Jam before the season.
Or like Carolyn was my closest ally before I was medically evacuated. Like anything like that.
Just Kane for some reason.
And no, girl, he thinks he's Vanjie. It's like, Vanjie, you are not.
It's so funny because it's when I was watching today, in my head I was thinking like, it's like Bruce got hired to work at a company, and then the next day like five other people got hired and he was their supervisor and was like trying to explain to them all the things to do, even though he has one day more experience doing them than he does or than they do.
But I feel like that happens anyway, you know.
I love that Emily was also like, I'm a push back. It's like, of course she was. We got her dynamic from the jump. Yes. And I love that there are still so many sharp edges on every single challenge. Still immensely dangerous.
Talk about sharp objects.
Talk about hashtag, what's her name's Coochie.
Kendra's Coochie.
Kendra's Coochie.
Well, if they changed anything, they would be admitting that they did something wrong.
Oh, yeah. You know what I will say? Everyone's footwear is a slay this season. I'm in the market for a new sneaker, and everyone's sneakers look cute.
I saw someone on Reddit call out that like everyone has the same water shoes now for some reason. Did we talk about this before?
Brand deal.
Water shoes? No.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it is purely a result of everyone on Survivor now just Googling like what are the best water shoes to buy. I don't think it's like a conspiracy. I don't think that production gave them all shoes. I think it is just people like looking up what shoes should I wear.
Production did give them shoes.
Department. Is there not a costume department?
There is, but it's like the contestants will send clothes to production and then producers will like pick outfits that they can wear. It's not like they get given clothes.
Got you.
Yeah, I don't know if they have like, would it be a costume department or would be like their handlers?
There's no way that it's like a dedicated team. It's probably some supervising producer's responsibility to like be part, like decide on the clothes or whatever.
Right.
That seems like just they get so much play out of these pieces of clothing. It seems like an oversight. A brand could be like, girl, put them all in Adidas.
Well, you know? The Reebok in, I think, Australian Outback, they all had Reebok shoes because of that, right?
Not maybe. That I'm here for product placement in general, but
the issue is that seems like Survivor is not as big as it once was, and so the brand deals aren't really flowing in.
Anymore. It's not like we're getting 7-Up anymore. It kind
of... or like or an Outback. And I meant that as the car, not the restaurant, but either way.
Right, the Applebee's in Fiji.
They did that last season, I think.
Was that last season? Oh, yeah, because, well, it was like High, I think. Oh. Right? Didn't High react to Applebee's?
I'm brand loyal.
Couldn't tell you.
To High.
Yes.
I'm also brand loyal to High.
Me too. Any other thoughts on this beautiful, fun little episode? RIP to our boy Brandon.
Wait, he's dead?
No.
Oh, I thought you meant Brando. Brandon, I'm so sorry.
No.
I thought you were saying that Brando had gone home, and I was like, wait, did we watch the same ep? Brando, Brandon, these are different people.
Brandon.
Well, we got, some, like Derek said, some lore about Jeff in junior high, or maybe Christine said that, yes. Where he was put on tried to be on the basketball team, but he was not good and was made the water boy. I'm kind of like, was that true? Or is he just like lying for fun?
Probably that one. He's a Scorpio.
Why would he lie about that?
Just to have something Scorpio. To say. Vamp yeah. for a second.
Of course, the vamping. I don't know. I mean, I feel like Jeff is emotionally detached this season, low-key.
Oh.
Saying it.
Because he wasn't pissed that Hannah quit?
No, he was definitely pissed Hannah quit. But I just think he's like, you know what? This one's going to be wild. I'm just going to sit back and watch and not get too attached.
Damn.
That was my vibe. That's my reading.
So that's why Jeff is just like filling airtime with like, yeah, this may shock you, but I was like a huge dork in high school.
Well, the first two tribals have sort of been, you know, not true mysteries, because it's like the first Hannah was like, I'm going. And then it was like, it's between us, Jeff.
Yeah, I was about to say, I like the open discussion where I know this won't continue for the rest of the season, but I just like it when they're talking a little more openly at Tribal about what's actually going on.
Yeah.
I agree.
Maybe it will be a trend. That could be interesting.
We hope for it every year, but I feel like that's kind of something that just happens in the pre-merge. Sad to say.
Because then everyone has to play it so close to the chest that it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Jeff, we'll just have to wait and see until we're up there writing on the paper.
Actually, in 12 seconds when I walk up there, that's when we'll know what you just asked me, if it's that's true or not.
Yes. Jeff, and it's so much like online dating, Jeff. You know?
When we got back from the challenge, everybody shot like a rocket running around the beach. Suddenly they were in a group, they were in a group, they were in a group. And we had our heads spinning all afternoon until I don't even know if the plan has been set right now. Anything could change in any second based on anything anybody says.
I'm very nervous, Jeff.
In Survivor, if you're not nervous, you're playing wrong. You're probably going home.
You're probably the one.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody feel 100% certain that they will not be going home? And then the one person with individual immunity puts their hand up, and then everyone else like,
yeah,
it's like, wow.
We can write Survivor.
I think they do.
What about if we got all the different AIs offered by different search engines to play Survivor? ChatGPT versus Bing's new one versus like, I don't know, girl, the other one.
Where's the AI in this new Survivor Switch game they put out?
What? Oh. We need to play that. I heard it's terrible.
I've also heard it's really, really bad.
A Survivor game for Switch?
Yeah. It just came out.
Girl, what is it? It feels like the Kim Kardashian, like, we're going around LA.
Use up your lightning points to go shopping. Girl,
the fire tokens are going to feature.
Oh.
You know they got fire tokens in that game.
They better.
La.
Last thing that is on my the edge of my tongue to speak about is Sifu saying, do you guys think we'd be friends if we met outside of this?
Sifu is chaotic, neutral. It's wild.
No one wanted to say, well, no. I did love that Julia was like, well, none of you are like even remotely my age, so probably not. She was real for that.
Julie was like, Julie was trying so hard to convince like Drew that he's okay, but it's like, Julie, you're talking to yourself, babe. You're talking to yourself, making sure you're making it to the next day.
Okay, we're like, obviously we're all, you know, slightly older than Drew, but Julie's confessional in this episode where she was like, Drew, he needs a mom out here. Like, I'm gonna blah, blah, blah. Do we feel like that is how he's approaching his mentality in the game, where he's like, what I really need right now is my mom to be here? Or is it kind of like, I'm young and dumb and full of beware advantages and want to, like, this is sort of like Rumspringa vibes?
Yeah, I think that whole thing was Julie's invention, and she was just saying it to make herself feel comfortable in an alliance by saying, oh, you know what, Drew needs me. It's like, no, you might need him, girl.
I don't know. I feel like maybe subconsciously Drew is looking for mommy, you know?
Girl. He was very, like, at least pretending to be relieved in his interaction with her when she was like, I trust you.
We just don't know the order in which all this stuff happens, because at the end of the episode, it's like, oh, he's firmly with, who's that kid with
Austin.
The
beware
advantage? Austin. So it feels like, yeah, him and Austin are actually tight, and he might have, you know, maybe that conversation with Julie happened earlier, maybe he was playing it up, but I do think it might have been like, you know what, this is good, because maybe he trusts her too.
Yeah, Drew said that Julie pitched the same alliance that Drew was already hoping for. And so it must have just been a vibe that these four people like all knew each other, like knew they wanted to work together, because we also saw Austin and Dee link up and have a conversation. We saw all of them be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunate for Sifu and J Maya.
Yeah.
Real.
I know. Poor J Maya. I wonder what she did to make them all hate her.
Girl, no. She'll be the swing / like something. We have not seen the last of Ha.
The songstress.
The songstress will prevail.
We'll see.
I'm calling it.
I loved this episode though, where she was like figuring out the secret language on the sign.
Yeah.
That was iconic.
It was making me think of like Pokemon games with the unknown or with Braille, where you have to like work it out and see what it says.
Just walk here.
So hard.
She needs a relicanth in her party.
Exactly.
She needs to walk over to this tree. Step 3 spaces left, and she'll get an idol.
She'll have a Shedinja by the end of the season.
Shedinja.
Is that what it's called or not?
It just was a weird, I don't know why. It's such a strange word to hear out loud. Shedinja.
It is. That's what it's called.
She didn't already done ginger.
Yeah, it's like, what? Shedinja.
She did.
What are we talking about?
There's a ghost bug.
You gotta catch them all. You must catch them all. But they keep making more, so.
There's over 1,000.
Scary.
That's scary. Ooh. any other thoughts on what was this episode even called?
Bringing a machine gun to a tea party, or rocket launcher to a tea party.
Bazooka to a tea party.
Yeah.
Emily Icon.
Emily Flippin.
Emily's Icon. I'd co-sign that. We didn't even talk about Sabaya standing on Brandon's back.
Fierce.
That was funny. And then Caleb getting all the ants all over him. I was like, girl, how are they going to get up in this tree? Like, production really wants these people dead. Mm-hmm. And then it was, no, girl, cut the rope.
I did love Brandon saying, like, I have scoliosis or something.
That was amazing.
So don't dance around up there.
Don't do a little dance. Brandon's funny.
I know. I'm sad he left. But I think he saw the writing on the wall. So.
I know we're wrapping up, but I would hate to be the one to invoke this, but they did go on a journey this episode. They went to that island. They did the puzzle. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Drew got his thing. Any thoughts? Empty head.
Who cares?
The puzzle seemed deceptively easy. I was like, I would, if I was there, I would be like, this puzzle sounds easy. I would do it. You know what I mean?
It's just matching, right?
It's just matching and then doing the numbers. It's just against a race against time.
Right.
It doesn't seem complicated. Like, you didn't need a lot of... Because I'm bad at puzzles generally, but a little matching scenario, I was like, well, I would do this.
It's not even really a puzzle as much as... Yeah, it's just matching.
That was just, like, Drew's whole, like, summer internship of it all. I was like, I can't with this. I can't.
Well, that was another thing I felt was similar in energy to something Coach did, because when they found the idol, Coach was like, this is for us. And that's what Drew did with his thing. He was like, hopefully sometime in the future we can use this to blah blah blah.
Yeah, honestly, probably a good move. That perplexes me, but it's like, you are put in an impossible scenario when you come back from that.
Yeah,
you know,
no one will ever believe that you
lost
or that you like didn't risk your vote. Everyone's gonna be like, girl, that's not true. And so it's either you don't have a vote or you have an advantage,
right? But and then you're double fucked if you actually didn't, like Bruce, because no one's gonna believe you anyway and you have nothing to prove, or, you know, or nothing to say otherwise.
Poor Brucey Poo.
I know.
I basically did a funny little dance.
And made all those noises that was making Jake laugh.
I feel like maybe I would be a Bruce if I went on this show.
It's like he is funny. It's just like you're laying it on so thick. And then it's so obvious that he also wants to control everything. I'm like, LOL.
Or he's like, I don't want to, but I'm going to.
But I'm doing it anyway right now. Because you picked that up. It's like, oh my God.
Just last thing, in the next time on, we saw D said it's game on. We saw Sabaya pitch voting out Caleb to Emily, where I'm like, that can't be true. And we saw Jeff say there's gonna be a camp raid, which I'm excited about. And then we saw Jake fall into the fire.
Oof. Yeah, is that what that was?
Maybe.
It looked like he was like passing out.
Yeah.
I hope everyone's near all the right. Fire. I hope D gets a lot of screen time.
With her big old toes.
She's so funny.
We've been checking in on her every ep for various reasons.
She's always catching someone looking for an idol. That's her MO.
LOL. Baha.
Yes, good for her and her prehensile toes, her little grabbers.
Excited about this season. If Couture doesn't win, I don't even know.
You'll lose it.
Well, we'll talk about Edric after plugs and like our winner predictions. Joe, why don't we do that now? Is there anything you want to plug?
Sure. Y'all can check out my Instagram at QueerVoteQueen. I'm also technically still on Twitter. Throw that a follow if you want. Call it whatever you want. I have a music project out on SoundCloud. Check it out. More to come.
Can we vote for you to be the drag performer of Pittsburgh?
So polls have closed. Oh. Magic is one thing, polls are another. I won second place.
Ooh, yes. Which is love, major slay.
It was a major slay. I'm so happy to represent my city in any capacity. Okay.
Pride.
Pride. Happy Pride.
Sam, plug.
Follow us at Bitter Drew's Pod. Okay, we're coming up on a year since our last review on Apple iTunes, so I feel like we could, you know, we could get another review if you would be so kind, or if you're our fair listeners. Follow my other podcast, Buffy Boyfriends, and follow me at Sam Stanish on Instagram, on just Instagram.
Simply Instagram. You can follow me at Rain Dierix on Twitter or X or whatever. Follow Shadowplay Gaze on Twitter. Listen to me, our good friend Christine, who cannot be here this week, talk about gay anime. We talked about Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune. Check out that fun little episode.
Oh my god, I will.
It was so good. That's it.
Slay alert.
Okay.
So Edrically speaking, Joe, if you recall, Edric is using the edit of the show to predict who will win the show.
Sure.
I really feel like the people I'm looking at most right now are Brando, Kelly, and Austin, I guess, just because the Stephen JT thing. But I feel like Brando and Kelly are the ones where I'm like, they seem like they are being shown to be like, well done.
Is that Kelly and Brando? Those are the two who were in Bello.
Yes.
And are sort of in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like both of them are shown being like, I can work with anyone. I'm like doing great, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I definitely see that. I feel like I'm, and maybe this is just like based on a pattern of the winners we've had in the new era, but I'm looking maybe more for like big characters. Is why I'm honing more. I'm still Keturah. Like, this was a fine episode for Keturah. Definitely not as good as her premiere. But honestly, like, Emily, I was like, maybe we're actually getting the Gabler of it all with her. Like, maybe that's happening. I don't know.
I see like, it.
We got a 10-minute segment about how much she's changed and how she's learning to be a person or whatever.
But that means she won't win.
But it's like, I don't know. At least she has a story.
But it was a lot of story.
But it's a growth arc.
But it felt very Christy Bennett, which I know is like the. But I don't know. I'm like not. I'm being. Maybe it's just because the Matt talk of it all is like also clouding my judgment now. But I'm like not unconvinced by Emily. You know.
Retweet. Honestly, I see it.
I hope you guys are correct, I guess, but I feel like we're being shown that she's like gonna be taught by Caleb how to like play Survivor. She'll ultimately betray him and Sabaya, like Sabaya is afraid of. But I just don't think that she'll win because her storyline.
That's fair.
Do you think that there could be a tribe switch up as early as next week, or do you think they would wait another episode?
I feel like it would be at least one more episode, but we also haven't seen a swap since the old era of the show. So it would be
really
unprecedented, but I hope that it does happen. Oh, well, actually, I think they swapped one person a couple seasons ago, but it wasn't real.
In 44, they had switched over one person, which was like stupid. It didn't really matter. Just do a full swap. We love it.
Where's the time wizard? Someone needs to break an hourglass.
That's what I'm saying.
Period. On Keturah, I still don't really see it. She's one of my favorite characters. I'm obsessed with her. I think she's hilarious and she's giving, but I don't think that we've really seen her act like strategy thoughts. And
I think that's, well, sorry, I'll let you finish.
I just don't think that we're seeing her see the right things or whatever, and I feel like we're not hearing her like talk about the bonds she's making. Her thing is that she like doesn't like Bruce,
right? Well, she bonded with the girlies in the first episode.
Yeah, but we saw that from like Kendra and Kelly's perspective,
I guess.
I agree. I see editing being in favor of her, especially in the first episode. I just think we didn't get to see a lot of her in this episode just because the attention was elsewhere, not for any other reason other than that. But like, she is the foil to, you know, Cocaine JT or whatever his name is, who's like the lawyer who isn't playing his cards close to the chest. I think she is laying low now, and I think that might serve her later in a bigger way. I also see, I don't know, I know that they're setting up Drew to fail. They're like making him this sort of like, I know what I'm doing, I know all the things, but I could also see him going far. I kind of see Drew going far.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I feel like that Reba alliance is what we'll see as like a group, but I don't know what it is. Just kind of some kind of X Factor thing. I just don't, it doesn't feel like that tribe is being put, like the energy is not being put into that tribe.
Yeah.
Like, especially directly compared to Bello tribe, who also are not going to tribal council. Like, it's just not the same at all to me for whatever reason. I think they have a lot fewer confessionals or whatever, but I think that they I think we're being told the truth about who's like in power there, but I don't think that those people are necessarily going to be up there in the end game winner contention. Except, right. Except so like early. I said, Austin, I guess. And I don't know. D, maybe we saw her in the premiere. I don't know. It could go anywhere.
It's so early to tell.
Yeah. Who so can true. Never be sure?
Who can never be sure? But I do see, yeah, Reba, we haven't even been getting as much camp life. They've been focusing so much on Lulu.
Yeah, Lulu.
Which has been compelling. And right. I see Emily's freak strategy working out because the season seems so weird already. Like the brutal honesty at Tribal, it's almost like she's ushering part of that in. Well, they've yeah. been at the two Tribals, so...
I think it is like that is like what's part of it. I feel like all four, well, like Erica, I think is the most quote unquote normal of the new era winners. Like every other, it's been like Marianne, Gabler, Jam Jam are all like characters. And like, so maybe that's why Emily is like putting up flags for me. Maybe that's why Couture, like Couture reminds me of Jam Jam. Like we got a lot of like sassy Jam Jam confessionals. So maybe I'm just getting flashbacks. So it's like, if it is someone like a Kelly who's more quiet, then maybe she would have an Erica-esque edit, which I could see for her. Like, she's definitely a quieter character, but we check in on her. So I could see it for Kelly, too, which she is my winner pick, so I would love.
Interessant. We just didn't get a lot of her, I feel, in these two episodes. Like, hey. What we did get, it was, like, highly strategic. I'm placed well. I'm going to bide my time.
Yeah. But not like this. This is why you should root for Kelly to win, you know?
Yeah, she yeah. didn't get like a big set piece on her own, like Kelly. Like it was Kelly and Brando.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I feel like we got the right stuff from this kind of winner. Like, oh, I just, it's the kind of thing where like a female winner would be edited, can be edited like this, or like, especially for someone. I mean, Kelly, it's Kelly's not Marianne or whatever. Kelly seems a lot more like reserved. And so there's, it's difficult to make her into a character that she isn't if she's like, if she does ultimately win, you know?
Mm. Agreed.
Remember when Marianne so iconically knew that she was being too much and scaled back so ferociously?
Yeah.
Remember when I picked Marianne as a winner on this podcast and y'all did not believe me?
That I don't recall, but I guess I believe you.
I am pretty sure that occurred.
That makes sense to me.
I'm gonna go back and listen.
We didn't see Marianne coming, you know, all season. We were like, they keep talking about the monster, and then like 1 second later we'd be like, Marianne is doing a lot of horror movie references, and then we were never like, maybe she's the monster, and then she was.
it took a witch to hone in on that, you know. Mm-hmm. Which like, all right, we're discounting Kendra, which maybe we shouldn't be, you know.
I was just thinking about that. It's like, what role is Kendra going to play? Because I mean, she's gonna be here.
I mean, if she's like, if we're gonna keep getting this astrology theme, maybe it is her season. Maybe it's written in the stars for Kendra.
Yeah. And I did want to say, previous winners have talked about astrology. We all remember Jeremy Collins talking about how all of the women in his family are Scorpios, I think. And then he won in the next episode. So, you know, it can happen. It can happen.
Yeah. Could be. It's just something in the air.
Astrology girlies can win.
That's what the 45th wave is about.
That's what the whole wave is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a water sign.
Oh, wait. Yeah. No, she's a Libra. So...
she's an air sign, but the wave is a wave.
The wind, because that's how waves work, is the wind pushes the water.
The wind pushes the waves, and then...
that's and the moon sign causes the tides.
Etc. You know the rest. I don't need to explain, you know?
Of course.
Joe, any final thoughts on the episode before we log off?
I'm just like... This season is fun. The season feels different. It feels like everyone's freaking out, and that's fun. I like that Lulu still, and I don't like it, but Lulu is giving like, tribe that's going to lose everything until there's no one left, which is always a dramatic arc for the first like third of the season, you know, like, okay, at least we get this melodrama, which is fun.
We told you this was melodrama.
Right. Lord will be guest spotting on the next episode.
This was the beach she was filming on.
Right, the Solar Power Beach.
Down the back, still the Lulu tribe.
Beach?
Slay. No, yeah, I agree. I feel like, like just said, fun episode, fun cast. They're using the 90-minute runtimes well so far. You know, no complaints. Excited for the next episode.
Agreed. This is a really fun season so far. Except for when all the women get voted out and then it won't be good anymore.
R.I.P. Kendra Cooch, Stan Emily, Keturah forever. And hopefully, guys, what if Sabaya wins though? Like, what if Sabaya like figures out, oh, I am such a good low-key leader and then takes it? Kind of could happen.
I'd support. I would love a Sabaya win.
Yeah, Sabaya one would be fierce.
The season ends with the battery powered pyramids like shooting a beam of energy into her, and it powers her to win the final immunity.
Why else did they build them?
That's foreshadowing. Yeah.
I can see it. I think that's what the episode was telling us, honestly.
The pyramids were batteries and they charged Sabaya.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Oh. Wow.
Slave. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Thank you.